Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
My name is Pastor Trey Witzel. I'm our pastor of Modern Worship and Discipleship, and it is so good to be worshiping with you on this day. I want to give a special welcome and shout out to those who are joining us online. Thank you for worshiping, whether you're worshiping live or later in the week. We know we have a whole host of a community that joins us online, so we're so glad that you're with us. Let us know that you're worshiping with us. You can do so by liking, commenting, sharing whatever feed you're watching. You can go to our website, mcfarlandumc.org, and you can share your prayer concerns, your joys. We want to be connected with you, and we're so happy that you are logging in to worship with us today. For everyone here on site, I'd encourage you to look towards the inside of your rows to see our friendship pads. It's take those, sign in, pass them down. It's a great way for us to know who's worshiping with us, to connect with you, and it's a great way for you all to know who you are sharing a row with today in worship. I got a little distracted. There's a whole host of balloons being brought in behind us for some reason. I think it's for our Return to Laughter lunch. It's happening immediately following worship today. And as you all know, I'm getting dunked. I'm going in the dunk tank. And what's so fascinating about the dunk tank is that I oversee our communications here at church. And people ask me all the time, so now when's Christmas Eve? It's the same day all the time. It's so hard to communicate with people. And yet everyone found out that I'm going in the dunk tank today. And so we're really excited. We hope you come join us for free food. There's a bounce house. There's a slide out there for the kids and a dunk tank. You can dunk me, Austin, Scott. We're all going to be rotating. It's going to be a really great time. And if you're interested, before the Return to Laughter lunch, we have our blood mobile here for the Oklahoma Blood Institute. That's one of the missions that we support. We know that there is there's a blood shortage. People really need this for life-giving care. And so if you can, we'd really encourage you to go donate blood after worship if you already haven't done so, or go to your local OBI office here in Norman to donate blood. Our final announcement for today is VBS is on its way. It starts June 27th, and we have a whole host of kids who are going to be here. Pre-pandemic, we were having over 400 students that would join us to learn about the gospel, to learn about Jesus Christ, and we need so many volunteers to help with that. And so we would love for all of us to join. We need about 100 volunteers to register to help with VBS. The students are going to be learning about the armor of God, about what it's like to live life and to get through life knowing that Christ is on your side. And so go to our website, mcfarlandumc.org, sign up. I promise you, you will be blessed to volunteer and serve during VBS. It's good to be with you. It's good to be able to gather. Let's rise as we worship God today.
Good morning, everyone. It's great to see you all. Let's worship. Let's put our hands together. Stay safe through the ages. Would you all pray with me? Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you, God, and we just thank you for your amazing love and for always being there for us, whether we realize it or not, God. We focus all of our attention and energy on you this morning, God, and we just praise you and worship you and thank you for loving us like you do. In Jesus' name, amen. Is a canvas for your strength. But my story isn't over. My story's just begun. Failure won't define me, 'cause that's what my Father does. No, failure won't define me, 'cause that's what my Father does. Ooh, hey, your burden's down. Ooh, check your sheep at the door, 'cause they didn't welcome anymore. Ooh, you're in the Father's house. Hey. Arrival's not the end game. Arrival's not the end game. The journey's where you are. Just want my heart. And the story isn't over if the story isn't good. Failure's never final when the Father's in the room. Oh, failure's never final when the Father's in the room.
Worshiping today, go ahead and have a seat. Worshiping today in the house of the Lord. I'm Eve Holly, the director of Connection Ministries here at McFarland, and it is a joy to be here with you this morning. We are worshiping God, and part of worshiping God is praying, it's being here online. Our spirits are joined together by the Spirit of God, and it is also offering and giving back to God just a portion of what he's given to us. I heard someone say once, you can't outgive God. But you know what? We do give, don't we? We give back to the work of God through this church. So call the ushers to come on forward. I'm going to pray over the offering real quick. And then we have this awesome video called The Spirit of Truth that I want you just to kind of soak this up as we give back to God. Lord, thank you for these people. Thank you for the gifts that you have given us. And thank you, Lord, and use according to your good purposes through this church what we give back to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
The Spirit of Truth calls us to what matters. She is the go-between, the connective force that moves from one creature to the next. She invites us to know our place in all things. Every inhale, every exhale belongs to everyone and to everything. She is the constant communication that speaks to the soul of all that exists, all that grows, all that dies. She gives across systemic separation, across species. There is no barrier she cannot overcome. She surpasses human understanding and speaks the truth in ways everyone can understand. She knows our longings, understands our groans, and with merely a sigh, releases a prayer too deep for words. To the dismembered, she brings community. To the walking dead, she brings new life. To the suffering, she makes use of our troubled past. She fuels us, places a fire upon us, gifts us with her inclusive language of clarity and truth that we might begin to understand the hope of God that she keeps in motion. The importance of working together as one to dream wholeness dreams into reality.
Amen. Our scripture. Hello? Now? Yes. Our scripture reading for this morning comes from the book of Ephesians, chapter 1, verses 15 through 23. So hear now the word of God. I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints. And for this reason, I do not cease to give thanks for you as I remember you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation as you come to know him, so that with the eyes of your heart enlightened, you may perceive what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance among the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power for us who believe, according to the working of his great power. God put this power to work in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the age to come. And he has put all things under his feet and has made him the head over all things for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Would you pray with me? Lord, we read in Paul today that you are over all things, that your power is a power above. And yet we look around and We see power struggles and we see power that influences and impacts us. And we begin to question maybe. We begin to doubt. We begin to wonder, are you all powerful? Help us to believe again. Help us to see and to laugh in your power and the power of life over death. So all things we pray. Amen. Did you know or do you think that God laughs? I'm not talking about that phrase that many of you maybe know. That's not exactly from the Bible, but I think we could find it there. Is the idea of if you want to see God laugh, tell God your plans. I'm also not talking about a God that laughs. Maybe if many of you have seen this picture that you can probably find in pretty much every kind of mainline Protestant church in America of the picture of Jesus laughing that looks like it's colored and colored pencils, that I honestly do believe that if you look hard enough, it just shows up in every church. I don't think any church actually ever buys the picture of laughing Jesus. I think when you open a church, it just appears out of thin air. But no, did you know that God really does laugh? What's interesting, though, is that God in Scripture only laughs at one thing. God laughs many times in Scripture. It happens a lot in the Psalms, but God is consistent that God only laughs at one thing. We see an example of it here in Psalm 2, if we can bring that up on the screen. This is from Psalm 2. It says, "Why do the nations conspire and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and his anointed, saying, let us burst their bonds asunder and cast their cords from us. And he who sits in the heavens laugh, happy are all who take refuge in him." Throughout Scripture, the only time that God laughs at the audacity of us, the audacity of rulers and powers of this world that seem to say, we are stronger than you. God laughs at those power. God laughs at those forces. God laughs whenever anything says that, God, your kingdom can't stand up to us. Now, in my image of God, I think God laughs at other things as well. I do think God laughs at our silly mistakes. I think God laughs even when we laugh, that God finds joy whenever we are joyful. And yet it says something very profound, I believe, that the only time God laughs in Scripture is at the powerful, those who seem to go against God. Now, laughing at rulers, laughing at kings is not a new phenomenon. You can imagine these Jewish people who are riding in a time of exile, either from Assyria or Babylon, or maybe remembering back in Egypt, there were all these rulers who would say, you Jewish people, you the chosen people of Israel, the people of God, we're actually going to rule you. Your God isn't going to rule over you. We are going to be in charge. And so you can imagine why the people would write that God would laugh at them. Because laughter is a powerful weapon. Being able to laugh and tell truth to power is one of the ways the weak are able to stand up to the strong. America has a tradition of laughing, of not trying to take our leaders too serious. At the annual White House Correspondents' Dinner, it's, for those of you who know it, it's a nonpartisan event where a comedian and people come in and tell jokes and make fun of both political parties and make fun of all the media across the spectrum, just to laugh and say, you know, you're important and yes, you do a lot of things, but you're not really that important. We're going to put you in your place. And so this year, Trevor Noah went and spoke about it, and he made fun of everyone. And I watched 25 minutes of his stand-up, and I found I couldn't use any of his jokes from the pulpit. I really wanted to. There's a few that I've been thinking all the way up to this point. I was like, I think I could tell that joke, but I'm not going to because it's hard now to laugh at rulers. Whether you support that person, you don't want anyone laughing at your president, but maybe if you don't like the president, then you want to laugh maybe a little too much, because it's been hard for us to laugh even at our own leaders. But Trevor, at the end, struck a serious tone and kind of went away from comedy and said, you know, in all seriousness, it's important that we can laugh at our leaders. He said it's important that our leaders can kind of be knocked down a few notches and that we can tell hard truths to our leaders. And he ends by saying he wonders that if people in Russia could laugh at their leaders, could tell the truth through jokes. He goes, I wonder if the invasion in Ukraine would have ever been allowed to happen. Because laughter is a way for the weak to wrestle away power from the strong. And to laugh as God laughs at these forces or powers in our world is for us to say that we have a hope in something greater than what we can see. We have a hope in something greater than what we are currently experiencing. That first and foremost, our faith is in God. That God's power at the end of the day will win out. And that if the story isn't good, the story isn't over. And so we look to scriptures like Ephesians that says that God put Christ above all things, and all the things of the world, all the powers of principalities are under Christ's feet. And so we keep that idea of laughing, of rejecting the powers of the world still to this day, bringing on that faith statement from Psalms chapter 2. Every time someone joins our church, no matter age or wherever you're from, whenever you join the United Methodist Church, you say these vows. You say, do you reject the spiritual forces of wickedness, the evil powers of this world, and the bondage of sin? And what that is, that's us laughing at the mere suggestion that sin can still have a hold on us when we are washed in the grace of Christ. We ask, do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves? And that is if we are saying, I laugh at the mere suggestion that the injustice of this world can stand and survive in the kingdom that is coming. We all can laugh because we have hope in Jesus Christ. We can laugh because no matter what is going on in our situations, we have a joy and a higher power that something else is on its ways. As Christians, we are claimed by Christ, who is far above all rule and authority, Paul writes, that Christ is far above all rule and authority and power and dominion for all time. And that we know a different way. We know a different power, a power of love and life and grace and the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that power is stronger before all things. And when Paul was writing this in Ephesians, he's writing against this culture where everyone had to pronounce, you know, Caesar is Lord. And so for him to say, no, Jesus is Lord, is a political statement for the day. It's a statement that could have and did get many Christians killed because they were saying, no, our hope is in something different. Now, in America, it's still certainly important for us to laugh and for us to say, Christ is above any political party, Christ is above any leader, that Christ is really where our allegiance should lie. Also, this power, we can't just say that it's just political powers that hold ensnare us, that kind of hold us captive. There are so many powers that are sometimes harder to identify, harder to see, that are just kind of part of the stream of culture that we can sometimes find ourselves swept up in. But whenever we can name it, Paul says that we receive a spirit of wisdom and revelation, that as we come to know Christ, who is Lord alone in our lives, that Jesus frees us, gives us independence, that we might live the way of Christ. 2 weeks ago, I made, and this is very silly, this is very not important in the grand scheme of things, but it shows the power, illustrates the power that kind of exists in this world. I made an Instagram reel. Does anyone know Instagram reels? They're videos that go on social media. And I made this one. Can we show it real quick? The computer. This is made about... Pokemon. So I got that. There's nothing remarkable, nothing special about that. And then last Sunday, right before I came to church, I woke up and I had over 100,000 views. I don't know how it happened, but people started commenting. Today, I now have 2.4 million views on that video for no reason. It started taking on, though, a power of its own. And people weren't very nice to me. People had strong opinions about the Pokemon that I said I didn't like. I got cussed out in the comments because I didn't like Magnet, whatever the Pokemon is. I can't even remember it. Ekans. It was Ekans. I said, I don't like Ekans. Ekans is a great Pokemon. Do you not know that Ekans is a great Pokemon? Words I can't say from the pulpit. For the first time in my life, people started commenting on my appearance. People started saying things that if I wasn't so secure in how I look, they could have really twisted a knife into me. So I started joking around with the staff because we all know that social media and algorithms, the things that they see, are meant to generate engagement. And the number one way they found to get people engaged is to get people angry, to get people upset. So I joked with the staff. And I said, man, if I want to get above 2.5 million, I should hop in those comments. I should start cussing people out. Oh, you don't like my Pokemon? Well, you're a dummy. You think I look like this? Well, this is how your mama looks. They would have come back, and they would have commented, and they would have viewed it again, and more, and I would have got more views. And it became overwhelming because I had all these people that I'd never met forming these opinions about me, making these comments about me. I know none of you were one of those folks. But there are these powers in this world that can make us angry, that can control us, that can bring us away from the life that Christ desires for us. And so while, yes, it's a humorous example, it really did, we talked a lot at church this week about, you know, the ways in which life can kind of be taken away from us, that our identity, that our personas online can change. During pandemic, when everyone had a lot of strong opinions about COVID and people couldn't see each other, I noticed it on social media. I started seeing people having more extreme and strong reactions. People talking about this group or that group. People that I knew and loved were now talking about groups that I felt like I belonged in, that I knew they wouldn't say to my face, that I knew they wouldn't believe about me, and I felt myself wanting to say the same thing about other groups. This objectively unremarkable video captures the ways in which we can get swept up by the imposter powers of the world, that we can forget that Christ is above all things and all things are under Christ's feet, that instead of being controlled by grace and the gospel, we can be controlled by anger and outrage. There are powers that are outside, or maybe are impacted, but are outside the realms of political powers that are still catching us and snaring us. And yet, God says, I laugh at those powers. Whether it's anxiety that keeps you wrapped up in thinking there's always going to be trouble, that your life isn't what you really think it is, God has power over that. Whether it's addiction, saying that I can only find joy in this one thing, Christ is saying there's a deeper, more meaningful joy out there for you. We know we live in a diseased and divided and disfigured world. And so it can be so easy for us to lose hope, for us to lose an outlook on life that says Christ is Lord, Christ is in control. And so today, I hope that you can find joy, that you can find laughter in being reminded in the joy of this higher power, that Christ is your King. And that Christ, if Christ is your Lord, we are not helpless. We are not victims to the powers of the world, but instead, we can actually be conduits of Christ's immeasurable redemptive power. And that we can start to laugh at. That we can laugh at the powers, the imposter powers that try and control us. We can laugh because we have a hope, because we are connected to something stronger by the love and life of Jesus Christ. That we can know that there is something more out there than the politics, than the algorithms, to the emotions or the feelings that we have, that Jesus can guide us through any struggle imaginable, and that we can have joy in a higher power. It's one of the things that I love about communion, is that when we come to this communion table, we're saying that this is the ultimate power. That we have a joy and a hope in something that Christ, whenever he was able to gather with his friends, when death was upon them, he was able to give them a message, a gift of grace and life. And that power, that joy, is offered up to all of you this day. That whenever we gather, whenever we come around the table, whenever we remember that Christ took bread on that night, blessed it, gave thanks to you, Almighty God, broke the bread and passed it to his disciples and said, take, eat of this, all of you. This is my body. This is my life given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. We are reminded of a higher power. And as the supper wore on, Jesus likewise took a cup, we remember, poured it, blessed it, gave thanks to you, Almighty God, and passed it to his disciples and said, take, drink from this, all of you. This is my blood. This is my love poured out for a new covenant, a covenant of forgiveness of sins. Don't forget me. Would you please pray with me? Almighty God, pour out your Spirit on us gathered here and on us connected online through your Spirit. Almighty God, pour out your Spirit on these gifts of bread and juice, this grain of the field, this fruit of the vine, and make them for us be the bread of life, the cup of salvation, so that through them we might be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by your blood. And by your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. For all honor, all glory is yours, Almighty God, now and forever. Amen. Would you please join with me in saying the prayer that Christ first taught us praying together? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. If you're joining us online, know that whatever grain, whatever cracker, whatever juice you have, the Holy Spirit makes holy in this moment. For you who are joining us in the room, we always say that everyone is worthy and everyone is welcome, because this table is not a McFarland table or a United Methodist table, but it's Christ's table, because Christ's power is above all of those distinctions and possible dividers. So everyone is welcome and worthy to experience the grace of Jesus Christ. Whether you believe a little or a lot, whether you've believed your whole life or you're searching for something to have hope in, you are welcome and you are worthy here. As our ushers come forward to lead us in communion, we have two baskets that'll be on the at the kind of aisles that are our gluten-filled communion, and in the middle we'll have our gluten-free, because we do believe that everyone should be welcome and worthy here at the communion table. Once the band starts leading us music, you'll be invited to come forward, and you're invited to kneel at the kneelers, and we'll talk more about what's on the kneelers after the song, but those are our prayer shawls, which is a ministry here at the church that we give to those who need constant prayer. And so you're invited to go and kneel and pray at the communion rail, but also to pray over those prayer shawls, that people who are in need of hope may experience and may encounter the hope of Jesus Christ. And I hope you can have that hope as well. Won't you please come?
Quick to be for, moved by.
the sound of his voice. Sees it a shaken and stirred, can be calmed and broken for my regard. Through it all, through it all.
Good morning. I'm Stephanie Miller, and I am Director of Care and 55 Plus Ministries here at McFarland. And today, I have the pleasure of introducing to you Ms. Dorinda Harvey, who is going to share with you some information about our prayer shawl ministry here at McFarland. And we would like to invite you to move forward, to lay hands on the prayers. After Dorinda speaks, Pastor Trey will offer a blessing over the shawls, and that's an important part, is laying hands on the shawls. So would you join me in thanking Dorinda and our faithful prayer shawl makers here at McFarland?
Good morning. The prayer shawl ministry started in 2006. I joined in 2007 when I retired. As of this date, 5,565 prayer shawls, scarves, and lap blankets have been created by this group of people. These prayer shawls have been all over the world. They have been given to everyone. Anyone who needs comfort in any way can have a prayer shawl. They are all over the United States. They go on every one of our mission trips. The high school kids, when they graduate from high school, get a scarf that the prayer shawl has made. We also give prayer shawls to the food pantry. And the food pantry receives, we hope, one for every family that comes in during the Christmas holidays. The one thing very dear to my heart, not last year, but year before last, when COVID was so bad, we made enough prayer shawls that one went to every nurse in the COVID unit. There are 36 members in the prayer shawl as of this date. If any of you would like to join us, you're more than welcome. There are meetings almost weekly and the second Sunday of every month. And I'm sure if you would call Stephanie, she will give you the date and the time. And believe me, all is welcome. Thank you.
So, actually, Eve's going to be the one to pray over the prayer shawls because I want to lay hands on them. But I want to invite anyone who wants to come forward to join us in praying over these prayer shawls. If you're more comfortable staying in your seat, you can just raise your hand and join us in praying for them. But this really is a tremendous comfort for the families and those who feel isolated and alone in the hospitals to know that there is prayer and people are with them. So, Eve, let's pray.
Let's pray. Father God, you are the great comforter. That is one of the names that you have given to yourself. You are the one who loves us and just touches our hearts. And so, Lord, I pray for each one of these shawls that we're praying over, for everyone that still is in the closet upstairs, for the shawls that have already been distributed. Father, that your comfort would be felt, physically felt, by the people who receive these prayer shawls. Father, that they would know your love, that they would know your peace, that they would know your presence with them in every situation, that you have not left them, that they are not alone, that you are there, and that this shawl, these scarves, everything that is made by these people to give comfort of the Lord, that it would do so, that when they touch it, they would know you are there, that when they see it, when they remember the love behind the giving of it, Father, they would know who you are and that you are more than we can even imagine. We praise you. We thank you for your love that never ends. And for those of us maybe that don't have a prayer shawl, Lord, that we know that that love extends to us as well. And as we leave this place today, singing and praising you, Lord, may your love move through us to others. And we pray all these things in the powerful name of Jesus Christ, the risen Lord and Savior. Amen.
Amen.
Stand and sing with us our final song.
I can rise.
Because your cross is powerful, because you rose invincible, I can't get up off the floor. This is my resurrection day, nothing's gonna hold me in the grave. This is my resurrection day, nothing's gonna hold me.
Jesus Christ. So may you go forth with that joy, and may you go and laugh into a world who needs to smile. May you go in peace. Amen.